time for stage direction on 95 BFM.
Yeah, and?
And it's happening now.
Yeah, and?
And it's time to listen to it.
Awesome, and?
And then the dog picked up a knife.
You're listening to Stage Direction on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Larica.
Kia ora, Molly.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well today.
Nice.
It's a nice day out. I've got a lot of shows on the brain.
A lot of theatre.
A lot of theatre.
Wow.
So much theatre that I think we might as well just crack into it.
Let's go.
So first up, I went and saw Music Portrait of a Humble Disabled Samoan at Q Theatre last week. It's one of their Arts Fest programs. This was, off the bat, an incredible show to be in the audience for. This cast and crew and the whole, everybody that was on that stage had the entire audience and just like the world and the energy of that show in the palm of their hands from the very beginning. Like sometimes I will sit in a theater, be watching something, and just like you can feel that vibe of like, oh, it feels like the audience is trying to win us onto their side. They came out with an energy that I was like, oh my god, if it had been a room full of five people, this would have been as exciting as it is right now.
Wow.
Which was really incredible to see. So the story is, it is the life and times of Funoti Patiumaka, who is a musician and activist, and it tells his life from birth through to present day. And he is one of the cast. He's a disabled man. He's in a wheelchair, and there are two other wheelchair performers in the show as well. And then there's three performers walking around, and then there's also four musicians. And the kind of shtick with it is that all of the actors are all playing Funoti, and they're all they will like jump from like sentence to sentence almost. They'll like pick up after each other to show like him in different forms and different energies and different ways. And then the musicians are on the side of the stage, but they're also acting, they're also like dancing at different points, and they're like as much a character, the music of this world is as much a character as any person on that stage. So they had with them a guitar, an electric guitar, a bass, a percussionist, and a violinist, which was really cool to see. I love, like, a violin is not really an instrument that you get to have, like, in a play kind of space like this, just walking around and interacting with, like, this kind of music as well. So really fun and really cool what they did with the music at different points to just sort of, like, you know, enhance, but also to put you on your nerves and make you feel a little uncomfortable at different moments. So the story is that he grows up as a boy in a very like Christian family. His dad wants him to be a minister, but he finds music and he gets absorbed into music. And then with that, he starts his own record label. And then while he's doing that, he starts getting involved in activism spaces as well. And he has this story that like in the Springbok tour, or shortly after, there was Nelson Mandela came to New Zealand, and he was Nelson Mandela's like personal like security detail. And has this moment where Nelson Mandela is like going up on stage and he kisses him on his cheek, and it's like that was just being in all of these spaces.
Yeah.
Was such a crazy moment for him. And also as an audience member, it's crazy, like I love it when history feels poetic.
Yeah.
And in moments like that, it's just so beautifully poetic. But then goes back home to Samoa for a while and has a fall. And the next day in the hospital, he has this neck brace on. It's too tight. He looks up and something in his neck snaps. And from then on, he can't feel his legs, has no use of them anymore. And from there, the story shifts into him overcoming his own like internalized ableism and learning to live with disability and finding community. And it becomes most poignantly a story that is like celebrating the community that has helped him get to where he is now in his life after having such a big like depression episode and crash out after losing a very integral part of yourself and like unlearning a whole bunch of things and then refinding himself. And so the staging of this show was, it was in the round, which is there's audience on all four sides.
And this is at Q Theatre.
At Q Theatre, yeah. in their Rangatira Theatre space. So big stage, and they're all moving around in between everybody. It's done so that like somebody is always looking at you, no matter kind of where you are sitting in the audience. And then at the suspended above everybody is this like circular like sheet that is a projection screen. And so different times they'll have different like pieces of projection. So when they're going through all of the people that have like helped him in his life, they have images of these people. He mentions after he has that fall that like the first thing that went through his head was the old ACC ad where the guy like falls out of the shower. And so they're playing that on the projection screen as well. And then they at different times will have the floor. They've got this like white MDF on the stage floor. And so sometimes they'll project down onto that as well. So the whole thing, the whole time was just such a feast for eyes and ears and heart and everything. It was so, so incredible. I was there with my friend and we both just left absolutely buzzing. Just like it's the kind of theater that I love that just makes you feel joyful and hopeful and like willing to take on big tasks because you can see how it's been done before in front of you.
Yeah.
I think that there's just something so magical about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then talking about kind of looking at history, the next show that I want to talk about is it's one that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time at Tapo Theatre on the 19th to the 22nd. It's a show called My Name is Rachel Corrie. Now, I am really excited about this show because when I first started studying theatre, this is one of the first plays of verbatim theatre that I was introduced to. And so the conceit with this one is Rachel Corrie was a woman from America who loved life and art and her friends. She also deeply wanted the war in Gaza, the conflict in Gaza to end and for people to be able to live their life there peacefully. And so she went to Gaza in 2003 and as part of the international solidarity movement to help support them over there, and while she was over there, she was martyred by an Israeli, I believe, military bulldozer. And so what this play does is it takes a bunch of her journals and diaries and emails, and it turns it into 33 pages of script. And so it's every word is taken from her, or if not her, then like people close to her. And it tells this story of this amazing woman who, it shows her like from before she went to Gaza to her last days there. And it's this very small team that are putting it on. It's directed by Indigo Paul, and Acacia O'Connor is the performer. It's the same team that was part of the Gaza Dialogues at Basement Theatre and Tales from the City by the Sea. So there's a really strong and solid Palestinian co-papa that has been following this work and is building this work. And I was talking to them on the weekend where they kind of took me through their whole sort of process with how they've been doing this. And they were talking about how a lot of the work that they've been doing was with Palestinians and Iranians and other people of those cultures where they were putting on art together, and this is something that they wanted to do that was a way to give back to them, but also to start getting other communities that maybe haven't been as connected to some of those texts immediately, giving them a way to join in as well. So very powerful message of like, go if you care and drag people that don't to go and see this show. I got to see a little bit of what they were doing with it. There is such a controlled like fire in this performance. They go from like laughter to crying to it, everything in between. They said a really beautiful thing that like this show, they want to give people an opportunity to practice feeling and to have the like feelings that you've been having about the situation over the last few years, to have those feelings validated and have them seen, and to, yeah, like look at the sort of history of this war and of this conflict and of this genocide, and give you an idea of like what has been done in the past, what have people continued to do, and find the beauty and the power in that. And so, yeah, I will be there on the 19th at Te Po. So listeners should absolutely come down along to see it. It'll be out in Henderson. Really, really gorgeous piece of work. I'm very excited for.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We got even more.
Yep.
how much time we got?
We got a little bit of time.
Okay,
great. This next one, this was something that you said you wanted to talk about, the Rocky Horror Show.
Yes.
And I would... thought you meant the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, so this is a little bit different.
Yeah.
It is, so the Rocky Horror Show is the stage show version. So this has been on at the Civic over the past couple of weeks. So the Rocky Horror Picture Show, of course, movies, in your old picture houses. this is live cast, live stage, live lights, live music, all of the good stuff. It was a really fun time because obviously with Rocky Horror there are these moments for the audience to join in with the show. So there's what is it? It's like Brad, asshole, Janet, slut, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So there was all of that was happening. I was watching it and I was really struck by the precision of the performers because I was thinking so much that like there's got to be moments that are missed in like every single night, and then there are got to be moments that are grabbed by the audience like immediately, and you couldn't tell when the like if at any moment the performers had like been caught off guard by like missing a famous call out or anything like that.
Right.
There was such control over everybody that was like really fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
They hit, you know, all the beats. I had a really great time. I did have a little bit of a sort of like a question in my mind, I suppose, with it, like a bit of a take, which is that like my favorite thing about the original Rocky Horror Picture Show is like the messiness and the clumsiness and the sort of like the, you know, it's a cult classic for a reason, because it is not like the cleanest, meanest show out there. There is like there's so much scrap to it, and this show felt almost too clean.
I was going to say that sounds clinical if they're hitting every beat.
It and, does, and like the choreography was really like it was really fun to watch, but it was so like you could tell that they are doing this night after night after night, and it's a West End production as well that is touring over here. So these people know what they're doing, and I just feel like part of that is maybe to a slight detriment of the show, because it felt like it was losing some of that grit, some of that like classic Rocky Horror joie de vivre, or to use a fancy French word, it just like I didn't leave and think that I had a bad time. I didn't leave and think that I had a bad show. I thought it was a really good show. It was a really technically impressive show, but it was just something in the back of my mind that was like, I feel like I almost would have had a better time getting really drunk and watching the movie with my friends. But like, hey, if you went to that show and had a drunk time with your friends, you probably had the best night of your life.
And you can always do both.
And you can always do both. That's the great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got another show that I want to shout out, and this is Words in Motion. So this is a poetry show that is going to be at the Basement Theatre, also starting on the 19th, and then it runs for a couple of days. I got to talk to Danny, who's the director, producer, one of the readers, who was talking so much about like their company, Tangata Te Mai, that has this really grounded kaupapa of reciprocity and community, and they started this whole thing with like book launches and giving people who had perhaps never had the ability to step on stage and read their own words the space to be able to do that. And so this is going to be three nights of poets, anywhere from people who literally it's their first time ever reading to people who could do this in their sleep. They were talking a lot about like how they really want people who are like have never experienced live poetry to come in and like just see how it feels. They were saying about like their stepdad, who's like the blokiest bloke, came along to one of the nights and left being like, "Holy shit, that was amazing!" It's like this is the power that poetry has. So
yep.
I'll be along. You should absolutely come along. It'll be a really, really great night.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laika.
Of course.
So much awesome theatre happening across
Tamaki Makaurau. So much. And there's still so much that I haven't even been able to begin to cover.
Yep. We'll have to wait another fortnight.
Yes.
But until next time.
Yes.
Oh, marvellous. Marvellous. Bravo. That was Stage Direction on 95 BFM.